Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Greetings and welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We are so excited to have you back at this wonderful 2015 new year. Yay! We are excited today, as we are every Tuesday when we meet here from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you now join me for devotions? We'll have song, scripture, and prayer, song by Mark Bryant, scripture by Eric Jefferson, and prayer by Dr. Nooks. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for coming to Your Place, Christian Church. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules where the word is explained and God is exalted. Today, we'll be singing I Give Myself Away.
Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away, myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart. Take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams and all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away, myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, myself away. I give myself away so you can use me, Lord.
Amen, amen. Tonight's reading can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. And this is the New Living Translation reading. This means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. A new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. I've read for you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. May the Lord add a special blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Dr. Nutt, you're on mute.
Thank you, God, for today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for making us new creatures. Help us, God, to see your will and to follow it. Help us to love in a way that is beyond our understanding, for truly you love us in that way. We ask you to bless this Bible study tonight, that we might understand your word and apply it to our lives, that we might be that light on the hill and the salt that hath not lost its savor, that we might touch somebody, and that we might grow ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're so excited tonight as God's love will be exalted and God's word will be explained. We are beginning with the topic in January of New Beginnings. Should you stay the same? That's the question that we're posing to you. And tonight we're going to deal with the topic that Mr. Eric Barnett Jefferson is going to bring us. But there's a little bit of etiquette I'd like to remind us. If you could please remember that in the studio not to use a speakerphone, because it distorts the sound in the studio. And if you will please put your phones on mute until you speak. And please don't forget to get off of mute when you're talking. We can hear the rumbling and the scratching and the moving around. We can hear paper moving. We can hear all of that. So if you put it on mute, if you're not going to be speaking. And before you speak, if you say, this is Dr. Susie or this is Eric or this is whomever, so we can begin to recognize the voice of who's sharing. Mr. Barnett Jefferson, are you ready?
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Before I get started, there's a couple things, if you'll indulge me out there. Dr. Susie, what year of this is our Bible study?
This is working on year 9. This is our 9th year.
Amen. And so how many of us believe when we started this that 9 years we'd be having a phone conference Bible study with people from different parts of the country and now a blog and looking for other technology to take us forward. So, Dr. Susie, I just want to recognize you for leading us through those 9 years and keeping us together. I really, really do appreciate it and look forward to these Tuesday night Bible studies. And I also want to acknowledge Brother Brian tonight. You are just a songbird, and I appreciate that as a brother who can't carry a tune. I really appreciate you leading us in song week after week. It really means a lot to me, so thank you. Thank you very much. And Dr. Nooks and Brother Carver for all the support through the years of this study. So coming off of last month's study with Dr. Susie leading us, really felt energized by that. And midway through that, began to think of, you know, what will we talk about in January, and realizing that January is the start of a new year for us. It's the first of the year, and we all make the resolutions of things that we want to do to better ourselves or to make life better for us. And so it really was just kind of a no-brainer of new beginnings, new birth, a new start, if you will. And so for this first week, I want to look at the topic of new beginnings and should you stay the same. And so our foundational text I'll read again is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Very important for us. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. A new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. And I think that's very important, because I don't think that we speak enough to new Christians about being new people. And the fact that transformation may not happen overnight. Now, not to discount God's power to say that he can't make it happen overnight, but from my own life experiences, it's a gradual growth of becoming mature in Christ. And so what I want to look at tonight is I want to spend some time in the old chapter in the first book, in the beginning, if you will, and look at Genesis and pose a couple of questions tonight, and those are, you know, let's look at new beginnings in the Old Testament. And why do we think there had to be new beginnings? What was God's rationale for those beginnings as you read those scriptures? And do you think, you know, there had to be new beginnings as we read those scriptures? Thank you all for being with us tonight and look forward to chatting with you on this. So can someone read Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8 for me, please? Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8.
Can we do a roll call? I think we have Lester on the line, Dr. Nooks, Mark, myself, and is there anyone I didn't mention? I think that's all pretty much our foundation.
So we've got Brother Carver, Dr. Nooks,
yes.
Dr. Susie, and Brother Bryant.
Yes.
All right, and we invite anyone else who may be listening to go ahead and hit the one key and join us if you so desire. We're happy to have you with us. So, again, Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8. Go ahead, Brother Carver.
The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved at his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy, blot out, and wipe away mankind, whom I have created from the face of the ground, not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air, for it grieves me and makes me regretful that I have made them. But Noah found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord.
So let's set the picture here. So God has created heaven and earth in 6 days, and he created man and made him in his own image, made him in his likeness. That's what the scripture tells us. Let us make man and let us make him in our image. And man is given dominion over everything on earth that God has created. Man has a unique relationship with God, one that God walks with him and talks with him. And we know that the story is the Bible is that man fell for being disobedient. And my perspective, and this is just Eric, is it wasn't only the disobedient, it was also not taking responsibility, trying to shut that off on, you know, the woman and then the woman, the serpent and all of that. But so this relationship is damaged. But God still cares, and we know that he makes clothes, you know, from animal skin for the people because they're naked. But now we jump to the point to where God is saying that he is grieved that he ever even made man, and that he's going to destroy the earth. Something he created, mind you, but now he's going to destroy it. And not only destroy it, but all the animals to wipe out the human race. Why, and you know, this is us in our thoughts, why do you think God got to the point to where he wanted to just wipe it all away? Anyone, based on the text and based on what we know leading up to this point, why do you think God wanted to do that?
People were evil. Even their thoughts were evil. Imagination, they couldn't even imagine anything good. So it grieved God that he had made man and women.
Well, there is a passage of scripture that says that the angels had mated with the daughters of men, and they created giants, and things actually got really, really crazy. So, you know, after this period, or actually during this period, after the flood, these angels were actually put into a prison of sorts, and they're going to be released at the time of the, you know, this all this chaos that's going to happen in the future. But I believe it was that collision between this intersection of angelic beings and people that created this race of giants, and all that chaos had to be wiped out and rebooted after 1,700 years or so on Earth.
The Nephilim.
Yeah, and so here God says that, you know, and we understand that God is perfect and doesn't make mistakes. But even God comes to the realization and says, you know what, I want a new start. I want a new start to see how this goes. And he, you know, an old deacon that I used to, where I used to attend the church, always had a saying that God kept a remnant. He always preserved a remnant. And we know that a remnant was just a piece of, wasn't a full piece of something, but just a piece of a garment or a piece of a rug or a piece of whatever. It was a remnant. It was a reminder. And God always kept this remnant available. And, of course, now we're talking about Noah, and Noah finds faith. And so God now is saying, he's turned, from my perspective, he's turned from his wrath of saying, you know, yeah, I can wipe this out and I can just do something else. But he's saying, no, that somewhere in all of this is still that goodness that I put in man. And I always say that because it says that God breathed the breath of life into human beings. And from my perspective, I'm just naive enough to understand that then God's spirit is in me somewhere. If he breathed a breath of life into mankind and made him a living soul. So we're starting this path of this new beginning. And so now what I want to do is I want to unpack this new beginning and talk about how that looks and how it flourishes and get us to a point that we will then take up a little bit more. So can someone read Genesis 8, verses 20 through 22? Genesis
8. Yes, I have it.
Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Caesar. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as a burning offering the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord, through 22, and the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. That's the New Living Translation.
Amen. Amen. So God said, I'm going to destroy this all. I'm going to make a new start with this remnant that I've preserved in his family. And the act of Noah says something about that remnant. And what does it say to anyone? It's his act of when he gets off this boat after being, you know, for months being deluged by all the rain and the underwater water sources.
What is his act?
Yeah, Mark.
But, Noah's act of building the ark when there was no sense of any flood, no sense of that which was about to happen was an act of faith. And in his sense, a true act of a new beginning for bringing in all the different types of animals and birds and what have you. that was just a true, true act of faith.
Amen. Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. The old folks said he was living in the already in the midst of the not yet.
Right. Absolutely.
Would you mind repeating that one, Dr. Susie?
I said he was living in the already in the midst of the not yet.
Hmm. Want to expound on that a little bit for folks out there?
Yeah. He knew what God had said was going to happen, so he was acting as though it was already happening. He was living into it, and that's what we have to do when we are moving forward into the future with what it is that God has called us to do and to be. We have to live in the already as though it has already happened in the midst of the fact that it hasn't come to fruition yet.
And in order to do that, that is reaching for a new beginning, because it's someplace that we haven't been yet.
Exactly.
Something that we haven't done.
It's the ultimate acting upon what you believe that new beginning is going to be and trusting God for it.
This is Marky, and I think that's one of the most difficult things is to act on a vision. You know, it's one thing to say that I want that Cadillac. It's another thing to actually go to the Cadillac dealer and get the specifications and order the vehicle and not know where the money is going to come from. You know, that's just a total act of faith. When you have a vision of wanting to have something or wanting to do something. And, you know, when God places something in our hearts, many times we can't see it, we can't feel it. There's no reason to believe it. But when God gives a promise, he does not go back on that promise. His word is always true. And although we may not see it at that time or feel it or even acknowledge it, you know, God's will happen, and all we have to do is act in faith and walk in faith, you know, towards what God has for us.
Amen. I want to really draw attention, it said, and this is, again, the New Living Translation, on verse 20, that Noah built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed on it the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. Let me back up a little bit to number 13. It says, finally, when Noah was 601 years old, 10.5 months after the flood began, Noah lifted back the cover to look. The water was drawing up. 2 more months went by. At last, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you, release all the animals and birds, that they can breed and reproduce in great numbers. But Noah, his wife, and his sons and their wives left the boat, and all the various kinds of animals and birds came out pair by pair. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed on it the animals and birds that had been approved for that. And the Lord was pleased with his sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the earth, destroying all living things, even though people's thoughts and actions are bent towards evil from childhood. In that scripture, to me, speaks of God looking to us to have a new beginning. I kind of want to believe that if the folks of Noah's day had turned to a new beginning, there wouldn't have been a flood. That God would have said, you know, okay, I can accept that. That's a new beginning. That's a new start. It's a new way of doing things. And I'll tell you what makes me believe that. Most of you remember the conversation that Abraham had with the angels as they were going to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the questions that Abraham asked, because God said he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham yes. said, you know, if you find God, he got God all the way down to 10 people. But if you find 10 people, would you destroy it? And God said, if I find 10 righteous people, I won't destroy it. And that says something to me about God's demeanor and character, that he really cares for mankind. But he also wants us to have those new beginnings in him, looking to him and for him. Because Noah didn't have to sacrifice anything. I mean, he could have just been happy he got off the boat alive. The ark, but he didn't. He created a for me a new beginning, if you will. A new beginning of worshiping God and thanking God and for his goodness, his mercy, and keeping him. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is Lester Carver here. I believe because God is all-knowing and he's present everywhere and he's all-powerful, that God knew that he was going to destroy the earth by water. He's basically destroy all life on earth except for that in the ark. That he knew he needed to do this as a part of the process of increasing the, you know, life on the earth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and binding these spirits, these angelic beings that had caused so much chaos on the planet. And that this whole process is something that God designed for the purpose of ultimately creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations according to his specifications. See, when you remember that God basically is the architect of all of this, and you look at how he has divinely appointed this we call it the red thread, going from Genesis chapter 3 all the way, Genesis 3, is it 15 or something, all the way to the end of Revelation, where basically, or actually leading up to the bloodline of Christ and then the grace administration after the Christ administration. You see how God selectively, you know, maintained this one bloodline all the way from, what was it, from Seth all the way up to Christ. And that is by design. So I don't believe it could have happened any other way. But at the same time, you see God's heart. The other thing is, you know, we have this childhood story of all of the animals being loaded onto the ark by twos, and yet there is a distinction between the clean animals and the unclean animals. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the clean animals were loaded on by sevens, and the unclean by twos, because the clean animals were going to be offered up as sacrifices. So that was intended from the beginning, that they would be offered as sacrifices. Am I mistaken? Do I have that the other way around?
Well, they were approved for sacrifice, but it didn't mean that it had to be done, because Adam was made to not sin, but yet he did. And so Noah didn't have to sacrifice those. I'm thankful that he did. But when he got off that ark, he didn't have to do that.
Well, if God knew that he was going to, in his omniscience, in his divine design, according to his plan, because, see, all of this, it says that from the foundations of the world, from the beginning of the foundations of the world, Jesus Christ was already slain because God knew he was going to have to be slain.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree that is absolutely true.
So he had to be. From according to God's plan, according to God's omniscience, his all-knowing, the past, present, and the future. And see, God is the only entity that knows the past, present, and future. So his divine design, the plan that God drew out from the beginning, has to be fulfilled. That's why we as individuals in our lives have to accept all that God brings in our life, because regret is really a waste of time. The question is, how is God using every event in our lives to bless us, to perfect us, to strengthen us, and bring us closer to who he's called us to be.
Well,
as opposed
let me ask you this question, Brother Carver. Let me ask you this question. So I absolutely know that God is the author, the architect, the author, and the finisher of our faith and all of that. So when the children of Israel left Egypt, could they have prevented that 40-year journey in the desert?
Technically, no.
No, technically
the question would be, right, if anything other than what God has always intended in his grand scheme could have been anything other than what it was, right? And if you look at how everything has been rolled out over time, you'd have to say that the answer would be no. And Moses could not go into the promised land. Moses was going to have to strike the rock twice. Or the people would have been worshiping Moses. You know, there are so many dimensions to this.
Well, there are so many dimensions.
This is Dr. Susie. My perception is.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Susie. Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say that this gets to the issue of predestination and free will, and this is an argument that you're not going to solve tonight. Do people have free will? And most of us would say that they do, but there are some people that believe that people don't have free will, and they're predestined to do whatever has been laid out for them to do. So this is a theological argument that's been going on for centuries. I believe God knows what is going to happen. But if God could make people do things, then God would not have ever happened.
Well, see, here's the issue. The issue, though, is that because we are not all-knowing, right? We don't know the future, right? We operate from our perspective of faith. It's free will to us because we do not know what is going to happen until it happens. Now, after it happens, our response to whatever happens is based on our decisions, our free will, our willingness to submit or to resist what we know or believe, right? And the outcome is going to be
Why would it grieve God that he had made new that they were going to do it? And if man didn't have a right to make a decision, then it wouldn't have made any difference. I mean, why would God say
well,
that
you
can find
I mean, I believe,
righteous
I believe,
people?
I believe
you can
find one
two
of
righteous people.
Right? I believe one of the reasons it grieves God is because God continually provides so much good. And in response to God's so much good, he always consistently gets the response from man that this is not enough, that there is something that you're withholding from us. As you saw with Adam, right? After giving Adam absolutely the best of everything and the opportunity to remain in that place of favor, right? He and his wife his wife was deceived, and he just openly disobeyed based on the fact that, and the lie, that God had withheld something from him, and he would not be in a lesser state than his wife of knowing good and evil, and he just openly disobeyed God because he just had to know, right? And I think continually this is what you see in God is after all of his grace and all of his favor and all of this goodness, the response of mankind is always the same, continually, right? So ultimately, this is going to have to get to the end in Revelation, where all things are going to have to be made new, but it has to go through this process in order to become what it is always been intended to be. Perfect.
Well, this is there.
To the tenth degree, then it says that people are condemned to die. People are condemned to go to hell, and people are condemned to go to heaven. And yet we have the scripture, whosoever will, let him come.
Let him come.
So we are not all predestined to die and go to hell, or are predestined to go to heaven. We have a free will, and we have some say in what we do. It's whosoever will, not whosoever I say, but whosoever will.
Yeah.
Is that what it says in Ephesians?
Yeah, but let me get us back to.
That's what it says in John.
Yeah, that's in John. But let us get back to. And all that's been great conversation, and ties back into this new beginning. Doesn't matter what spectrum you're on, there has to be this new beginning that God wants us to. And our foundational texts tell us that this newness is from God. I mean, that's what the scripture told us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me read that again, because I don't want us to lose sight of that, because it is not.
Can I read it? Because I had a question right after that. It says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. And the question, when I heard this, I began to ask, when we are in the church, bring people as new beginners, and we ask them to accept the Lord as their personal Savior, and that they would believe in his name and confess, that they could be new creatures. Well, I think what we have a tendency of doing is just stopping with the emphasis on salvation. And I think that's where we fall short, because it's not just about salvation. Salvation is germane, but that's the beginning. It's also about transformation. And the reason why we have people who don't want to go to church anymore is because they don't see the transformation. They don't see how, as Christians, we have become these new creatures that the Word talks about. So we can't just start with, I accept the Lord as my personal Savior. That's it. We have to move and to be actively seeking transformation. So that's why we got to look at this new beginning. Every year, we have the opportunity to start from where we are and to move forward into where God wants us to be.
And God gives us, thank you, Dr. Susan, and God gives us the strength and courage to do that, as well as the tools and the tool, meaning the Bible, to help us to do that. And that's very important, because those who become Christian become new person. They are not the same anymore. The old life is gone. Now let's think back, some of us. What can you tell me that was old in your life that's gone today, that you had to let go of? Anybody want to talk about that? Because we all have some things.
Some of us are still
fighting some of that stuff. Anybody want to share?
For me, this is James. I think pride was something that I had to let go of in my life. And I think this life is a journey, and I think there's a lot of things that we see as we go through life that we need to let go of. Anything that keeps us from God or separates us from God, things ourselves, and we don't allow God to lead us, then that becomes idol worship. And when you've been blessed sometimes with certain gifts, sometimes you think it's you and it's not God. And then when you move and you act in a way that says that this is me, then that's something that you have to let go of. And sometimes you have to let go of it in a painful manner. And sometimes you have to be broken in order to let it go. But I think there are many things in my life that I've gone through that I had to let go of as I've gone through. But pride has been a big one.
Okay. Yeah, pride. I'll share with you judgment. I could be sitting in the pews in the church and judging folks and passing judgment on, you know, what my thoughts were about them and all of that. And I had a real bad habit of going to visit churches and couldn't listen to the sermon because I was too busy trying to find problems with who was worshiping and how they were worshiping. I used to have a real bad problem with that. And, you know, because I was spending a lot of time in churches back then. In fact, too, where I was with the National Benevolent Association, and I mean, I could be in, you know, four different churches every week, and that was horrible. And you know, one day the Lord prayed me, like, how can you tell me you're a Christian and you trying to live right, and you sitting here casting judgment on everyone else? So judge not, lest you be judged.
Well, I know one thing for me would be vengeance, and it, you know, along with many other things, but ultimately, the thing that is really, really different is before I had come into the fullness of who God has called me to be, if you came against me, then you were in trouble, and that has been absolutely reversed. Because God says vengeance is his. However, I know that for ourselves, there's a great deal of fulfillment in watching your enemy suffer. And then anything else you can bring upon him. And when you yield to that, when you yield to that level of pride and fulfillment in punishing your enemies, you know that that is something other than you, and it's definitely the Holy Spirit keeping you from you and them from you. So,
amen.
That's one of the differences for me.
This is Dr. Susie. I think for me, forgiveness is still something I'm working on, but it was much worse, you know, letting go of things and letting God have them. That was one of the harder things. When you've been hurt by someone, to be able to let that go. Oof. Because it's sometimes it can appear to be, but it's not a blanket of protection. But what it does is it puts you in a cage as well. And so, you know, as you mature, I think as we mature, we get to understand and see things the way that God sees them. So we understand why God says, don't do this, don't do that. Because it ultimately hurts us. And so as we learn, as we grow, we can figure out, we begin to see with spiritual eyes what it is that God is saying and why God is saying it.
Amen. So when we come to the realization that God starts to work with us on that, isn't that a new beginning for us? Deliverance
that is a new beginning.
From that which is has caused us, you know, I won't say a setback, but it's clearly in the midst of clouding our vision of worship with God. And so, therefore, we've got a new beginning. And then, as Dr. Cesey stated earlier when we started, is that you should look to build on that every opportunity that we get. Now I'd like to look at our last.
Eric, before we go on, I wanted to say something. I was thinking about, we do a lot of training and transitions, and Williamson teaches that with every ending is a new beginning. And so you can't have a new beginning unless you allow something to die, to complete, for it to move on. And that's good because that's a new start. And I had this this little thing that said, no one can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. So if we want a new life in Christ, we can start today, accepting our Lord and Savior as our personal Savior and giving our life to Him. And when we do so, not just give our life to Him just to be saved, but to begin the process of transformation. Amen.
Amen. That's kind of that saying, you know, from the world's point of view, today is the first day of the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You've heard that one.
Yeah.
This is James. Yeah. This is James. I just wanted to say that what we just did by saying that there's some things that we need to give up or end, if that would happen in some of our churches, I think you would see some revival happen. I think for us to admit that we needed to make new beginnings in our lives and there's some things that we needed to let go of, rather than going into church and acting like there's nothing that we ever had to overcome or nothing we ever did wrong, because people are seeking to see that we have been transformed, that there is transforming power in Christ Jesus. Share the transformation that's happened in our lives, and I think it'll make a big difference in how we evangelize and reach people.
Amen.
With the remainder of our time, I'd like to take a look at Genesis 37:18-36. Pretty familiar passage for most of us. But if someone could read that, I know it's kind of long, but we've got a couple of things I'd like to unpack in there. That's Genesis 37:18-36. Anyone have it?
I have it.
Could you read that, Dr.?
I have it. Okay.
Yeah. 18 through
20. You can go, Mr. Nook. Dr. Nook, you can go ahead.
Okay. But they saw him a long way off before he reached them. They made plans to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to one another. Come, let's kill him. Let's throw him into one of these empty wells. Let's say that a wild animal ate him up. Then we'll see whether his dreams will come true. Reuben heard them. He tried to save Joseph from them. Let's not take his life, he said. Let's not spill any blood. Throw him into this empty well here in the desert. But don't harm him yourselves. Reuben said that to save Joseph from them. He was hoping he could take him back to his father. When Joseph came to his brothers, he was wearing his beautiful robe. They took it away from him. They threw him into the well. The well was empty. There wasn't any water in it. Then they sat down to eat their meal. As they did, they saw some Ishmaelite traders coming from Gilead. The camels were loaded with spices, lotion, and myrrh. They were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and try to cover up what we've done? Come, let's sell him to these traders. Let's not harm him ourselves. After all, he's our brother. He's our own flesh and blood. Judah's brothers agreed with him. Is that where you want to?
To the end of the chapter.
Is that what you wanted read? Okay. Then traders from Midian came by. Joseph's brothers pulled him up out of the well. They sold him to the Ishmaelite traders for 8 ounces of silver. Then the traders took him to Egypt. Later, Reuben came back to the empty well. He saw that Joseph wasn't there. He was so upset that he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, the boy isn't there. Now, then they got Joseph's beautiful robe. They killed a goat and dipped the robe into the blood. They took the said, we found this. Take a look at it. See, it's your son's robe. Jacob recognized it. He said, it's my son's robe. A wild animal has eaten him up. Joseph must have been torn to pieces. Joseph tore his clothes. He put on black clothes. Then he sobbed over his son for many days. All of Jacob's other sons and daughters came to comfort him, but they weren't able to. He said, I'll be full of sorrow when I go down into the grave to be with my son. So Joseph's father sobbed over him. But the traders from Midian sold Joseph to Potiphar in Egypt. Potiphar was one of Pharaoh's officials. He was the captain of the palace guard. That's the end of the
chapter. Thank you, Dr. Nook. I know that was a long chapter, but what I really wanted to get at is that, so we know that this is the beginning of a new beginning for a whole family. And this new beginning starts with Joseph. And not that Joseph understood what that beginning was going to be, because he didn't want to be sold into slavery. He didn't want to be in Egypt away from his family, from the father. But his brothers had other thoughts about that. But this is the beginning of a new beginning for a whole family. They could not stay the same. They could not stay, as we know the rest of the story, they could not stay in Canaan because they would have starved to death, which means that God had to find a way to create a new beginning for them, and it is through Joseph, who was sold into slavery and goes down to Egypt in order to become the second in command, if you will, in Egypt, to be able to save his family. Now, how many of us, given that time frame, would have thought that, you know, well, yeah, I'm gonna enjoy going down here and going into slavery so I can save my family?
Nobody.
I would have to agree, Dr. Susie. I mean, I'm going to endure that agony.
Well, you know, there's something else there. Isn't there something else there, though, that there was a prophecy over him when he was young about, you know, about who he was going to be? There was a vision that he got that even offended his brothers, right, and his father. He was offended, right? And yet, he held on to what God gave him, what God showed him in advance was the destiny for his life. And I think each of us have a destiny like that. And when we embrace that vision of who we are that God has given us and walk in that, that is an act of faith. But that faith is the pipeline for God's grace, God's unmerited favor, God's enabling power to operate in our life and produce through his word everything that God promised, right? So even when he was in the pit, he had the promise with him. Even when he was in jail, he had the promise with him, right? All leading up to this moment of greatness.
But, Brother Lester, I think the whole point of what you're saying and what Eric is saying is that somehow, some way, God finds a way to move us towards a new beginning. This is Dr. Susie. And whatever it takes to get us postured for what it is that God has for us, that is what God will do. So each of us needs to look every year as we come to a new year, as we're looking at and reflecting on our lives where God has brought us from, you know, we are postured for such a time as this to fulfill something that God has called each of us to. And we need to do that personal reflection and see the vision that God has for our lives so that we can walk into our new beginning. And we need to do that. I think we need to be intentional about doing that.
Amen.
This is Mark. I agree with what Dr. Susie's saying, but I go a little bit further, say not just each year, but sometimes each day, because sometimes I find that in my conversations or even in my own experience is that I need a change. I need something in my life to happen. I need my finances to change. I need my relationships to change. I need my my general experiences to change. I need my relationship with God to change. And therefore, I've got to, as Dr. Susie was saying, one, I've got to recognize the promise and the vision that God has for me, and I've got to act on that, even if it means I take the first step to say, I don't know what to do, but I'm depending on God for you to direct and show me or give me some type of signal that I need to move in a forward direction so I can see that change. Because I think overall, you know, that's what people want to see in their lives. They want that change. I don't think people want to be or stay where they're at, you know, whether it be drugs or whether it be depression or whatever it may be in their lives that may be causing them not to move ahead. But placing God first and acting on faith and making that first step is all he asks. If we make that first step, he'll make the next 10.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. So for tonight, just want us to ponder the question coming back to next week is the new beginnings. That's what we're going to be studying for the rest of this month. And I apologize that I did not have all of the month information out before today, but that will be coming by the end of this week so that you can study ahead. And with that, Dr. Susan, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I think we've got about 4 minutes. And I do want to offer up some prayer concerns for some friends and family members.
All right. Let's take praise reports and prayer concerns for a couple of minutes. Who do we have?
This is Eric. I want to lift up a friend of mine's son, Mac Rastin, is the young man's name. He's 17, going through some struggles in his life. As most of us know at 17, we think we know it all, but yet we don't know anything. And I talked with his dad, who was a colleague of mine years ago, and he and his wife were really struggling with this. I want to lift up the Rastin family, that the young man will get the help that he needs, and mom and dad will be able to stay strong and stand by him to love him unconditionally, help him through this little rough patch. Also need to pray for my son and my mother-in-law who are out in Texas battling the H1N1 flu. And both are pretty ill, and my wife and I, who just got back from out there visiting with them for about 12 days, have started a regimen of medication so that we don't contract that strain. And so just asking that God would help us and lift us up. And I have one other one, a young lady that I know, Gail Davenport, who was having some medical issues, and want to lift her and her family up, her husband, Philip, that God would meet their needs at this time right now.
Amen. Brother, let's just close us out in prayer, but before we do that, let's remember the flu season and how there's so many people who are struggling with the flu. If you could lift a prayer for that, and as well as pray for our president, we're beginning with a new Congress in our country, and that we would move into a new year of peace, and that God would be with us, so our country would not be racked with the suffering that we've experienced in 2014. Would you start the prayer, please?
Well, God, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for blessing us and keeping us. We thank you for the Bible study. We thank you for your word that you give us and your spirit that you give us. God, lead and guide us that we are us. Direct our paths and help us, God, to have new beginnings. Help us to seek new beginnings. And God, then strengthen us and empower us to move and walk in those new beginnings. God, we lift up those that are suffering with the flu across our country, epidemic, in many states. God, many people are sick, but we know that you heal, and that with your stripes we are healed. God, we pray for our country and for our president and the new Congress that's coming in, that we would be able to move and work together. and that we would be able to move and work and it's pleasing in your sight. God, help us to overcome racism in our country. Help us to overcome division. Help us to seek your will for our lives. God, thank you for your guidance.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.